Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Now he sends one in the air to left field. Well hit. Back on it goes Ref Snyder. It is off the top of the monster. Scoring is Pena. Maldonado to third. Alex Bregman, an RBI double, just missed a home run. It's 7-0 Astros.
That was pretty sweet.
In totality, that series against the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park, the first Astros sweep in Boston ever, with 39 hits, 26 runs along the way. I love it, especially since I divorced the Red Sox for the Houston Astros. I cheated on my first wife. She sucked. I left them for a better, younger, more, I don't know, appropriate partner. And here we are. That was beautiful to see the Astros finish it. It did get a little dicey towards the end. At least Framber Valdez didn't throw at anybody when he was giving up all those runs in that one inning. But guys, we have a lot to be happy about today. Not just the five straight wins for your Houston Astros. And I guess you can't be happy about the Mariners' performance last night. They did win, but Julio Rodriguez once again did not play. I don't know if he kicked a Gatorade cooler too, because he's dealing with a foot injury. Shout out to Sean Mapes for writing that joke. They did get help to get back into a two-way sort of tie for first place from South Oklahoma's sad gang of choke artists. It's time for Rangers Watch.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. 'Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you.
But also in front?
'Cause that's where the Rangers are gonna be.
Whoa, 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 whoa. And I know everyone wants to hear Haley Joel Osment say, Walker told me I have AIDS. No. We got to update it. It took way too effing long. Should have happened, honestly, by the start of June. Tab was correct with his last trash talk phone call that he had when I was on with Josh Beard on Monday. It took way too long. But it's finally happened. Let's play the appropriate Sean Mapes open to Rangers Watch.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right.
'Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Something is gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you, bitch!
'Cause that's where the Rangers gonna be.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
Oh, yes! It could not be sweeter! The way that the Rangers blew the AL West lead officially last night. They actually traded for Aroldis Chapman to help bolster their bullpen. And my God, guys, this is just poetic justice for one of the nicest guys in sports. Intentional walk. Walk. Very next pitch. He hit the batter. Here is how the sad Rangers broadcast sounded as they witnessed the end of the Texas Rangers' run first place in the American League West.
And that's the ballgame. You mentioned it was a full moon tonight. Man alive. What a weird way for this ballgame to go tonight. Tonight where the Rangers were the ones taking advantage of the free base runners all night. But ultimately in the 10th inning, it was the Mets getting the gift.
Very unfortunate.
So I cut out some of the dead silence along the way in that cut. They were crestfallen. And man, it's just so great that it was Aroldis Chapman who did it. You know how many times, Sean Mapes, behind the glass, I rewatched that hit by a pitch to give the Mets a walk-off victory over the Rangers last night? You know how many times I watched it?
No, I don't know how many
I watched times. It 6 times because I was trying to see if Aroldis Chapman smiled the same way he did after Jose Altuve took him deep in 2019. And I'm not sure if he did. I think he might have. At the very least, he showed some teeth.
Do you think... where does Aroldis Chapman rank among
Astros bottoms?
I was going to say pitchers that have helped the Astros the most.
Well, that's a better way to frame it. Probably a more professional way to frame it. Look.
Because honestly, every time he comes into the game, I'm like excited.
Kenley Jansen, I think, would be up there, but that's dated. Aroldis Chapman is...
Aroldis Chapman has like... ranged with how he does it too.
Right, because now he's doing it while the Astros are in the American League West. He's helping the Texas Rangers blow their lead over the Astros. So, yeah, he's a friend of the Houston Astros at this point. I think there was a picture of him and Jose Altuve after an Astros-Rangers game.
It was the Framber Valdez scuffle that happened.
Yeah,
that, I mean, it wasn't a scuffle because... Aroldis Chapman and Jose Altuve were yucking it up with each other.
Maybe the reason Aroldis Chapman smiled when he gave up that home run to Altuve and the reason that he had at least his teeth showing as he hit a batter to give the Mets a walk-off victory last night, maybe it's because, I don't know, he's getting a little something-something under the table.
Paul, are you accusing the Astros of cheating?
No, I'm not. I'm not, but... it would be really funny if Aroldis Chapman was on the payroll of some degenerate gamblers who are forcing him to make it so that the Astros always win, whether he's playing them or not.
Astros sleeper cell, Aroldis Chapman.
I like that.
Double secret agent.
The Houstonian candidate. You see the Manchurian candidate? They made a remake with Denzel Washington. I forget who else was in that movie. It was a couple of years ago. Essentially, like there's a sleeper cell president who's completely brainwashed into doing all sorts of stuff for shadowy figures.
Based on a true story, right?
Probably, but we don't talk about that.
Okay.
We don't talk about that. So, guys, the Astros are now semi-officially tied for first place. It is a wonderful, wonderful day. So now that we've gotten past that, 5 wins in a row, awesome. Tied, sort of, math's weird, for first place, awesome. Now, though, I'm starting to feel like an elitist again when it comes to the Astros. We have standards here, right? I mean, they're up 7-0, and they let Boston make it a 7-4 game. Framber Valdez looked great at first, and I suppose it is progress, again, that when things started to fall apart for him, that he didn't throw at any Boston Red Sox. I honestly was waiting for that to happen. Okay, steps forward as far as a maturity. Maybe he also feels better because they've decided to start wearing different jerseys with him on the hill. They used to wear those ugly, blue, and I hate those blue uniforms that they wear. They're spring training jerseys, you know? I want them to bring back the Tequila Sunrise jerseys full time. We haven't seen them wear those in a while. And instead, they wear these. And I think they were entirely doing it because Framber's a little bit superstitious. And now all of a sudden, he decides that he wants to wear the orange jerseys, which, by the way, I say, great. Those are my favorite current Astros uniforms. And I thought for a moment, oh, the orange jerseys, they're working. But I was a little bit concerned that once again,
we've lowered the bar for what we're looking for in a start. After the game, people were saying, well, it was a nice bounce-back performance for Framber at first. We said that J.P. France looked awesome yesterday. We said that Christian Javier looked good at first in his last start. I'm just annoyed that we've lowered our standards when it comes to the starting pitching for this team. It's not the end of the world. And again, I'm 5 games in a row that they've won, back in first place. I'm just feeling like my proper elitist self again, expecting way more than any team should be able to deliver when it comes to the greatest franchise that we have ever seen play sports here in Houston. Todd the Show says Framber was fine. He only gave up 2 runs and the defense was trash. The defense not being what it was last year has been a bit of a disappointment. It truly has been. And I don't know what you're really point at. I mean, at least it's not Boston's defense, but I feel like they used to be lights out and they're not quite at that level anymore. A couple of texts on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776. An 832 texter asks, dude, how many teams have you had? LOL, sheesh, just 3. Just 3 baseball teams. Listen, you cover the hometown team for 162 games. You better make yourself a fan of that team. Otherwise, you're just going to be miserable watching it every single night. Especially if you're maybe not the biggest fan of baseball, but are still damn good talking about it. What else do we have here? 832. Mariners fans can't celebrate being in first, but you celebrate Rangers not being in first. LOL. Yeah, because I'm petty. Yeah. This is all about watching the Rangers crumble, which is something that they've been doing really well since their last appearance in the World Series when they had a 3-2 series. They had a 3-2 series lead. They had the Rangers, they had the Cardinals on the brink, and they had 2 outs, and Nelson Cruz misplayed a ball in right field. The Cardinals won, and then they would go on to win in 7. I enjoy watching this team fail. From the 832, for some reason, I think Chapman would be good on the Astros. Do you really want to let that one play out?
It would put the sleeper cell theory that I literally came up with like a couple minutes ago. It would really put it to the test, because then if he's like 0 ERA, like
that would be funny,
striking everyone out for the Astros. But
people would claim cheating right away.
What?
People would claim cheating right away if Aroldis Chapman joined the Astros.
Aroldis Chapman,
bad guy, joins evil team, starts pitching well again
when he's like 36.
Right. Yeah. Oh, find some of that Roger Clemens juice. Interesting. Some more comments. Yuli used to help out at first base. Yeah, they're definitely not as good as they were defensively there. Some people are also wondering about this shift ban, how that impacts Framber. Yeah, good points. But look, the Astros are back in a shared tie for first place. You have thoughts on that? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. There was a bummer development in yesterday's game when it comes to depth for the Astros, but it was cool to see this guy again doing what he used to do so well. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now with more nougat.
You're not cooking.
Pork chop sandwiches.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Always been playing from behind the count. There's a line drive into right field. That is down for a hit. In comes Bregman. Here comes Tucker. 2 more RBIs. Michael Brantley makes it a 6-0 game.
I'll be honest, I did not think that Michael Brantley would return and deliver almost immediately. In Tuesday night's game, he had some hard contact on a couple of hits, but it wasn't able to leave the infield. Yesterday, he bombed a double, ground rule double, over the Red Sox right fielder, and he also had that 2 RBI single there. If they're getting, let's say, 80 to 85% of Michael Brantley, that is an unexpected massive victory for the Astros. I really was operating this year like he was never going to play again. And I am still a tad nervous that this thing is going to re-aggravate itself, whatever the shoulder injury is. But I think thus far you're seeing him make contact with the baseball after he's been gone for a year. And to have a game like he did yesterday is, I think, a really good sign going forward. We'll see if he's able to keep it up against the Yankees this weekend. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Mesa says he wouldn't come back if he wasn't ready. Don't say those things. Stay optimistic. How can you be optimistic when you know the track record of this Astros training staff?
And the track record of Michael freaking Brantley. Like, this isn't even a Michael Brantley on the Astros thing. The reason the Astros were able to get him when they did at a discounted price, because he was hurt every year for Cleveland.
Exactly, Sean.
He's always professional. He's always going to, you know, only going to play when his body feels right. And he can do that for not 162 games, for less than 100 games a season. And then something happens.
It's not to say that we think Michael Brantley is soft or injury prone or anything like that. And clearly he's an awesome hitter when he's healthy. Just like the consummate old school contact guy that just gets on base.
Professional hitter.
Exactly. I love the way that he plays. Maybe I don't understand the Uncle Mike nickname. I never will. But this is a guy who doesn't have the best track record. And this is an Astros training staff that has an even worse track record, which brings us to another recurring segment that we have here on the Paul Gallant Show. Astros ER, because guess what? Another guy for the Astros got hurt.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurt. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
You know, at the very least, those three clips about Michael Brantley eventually came true, even though they were said in March, April, May.
Him being ready by opening day was not true. I feel like we can fact check.
But that's Jeff Bagwell, though. It's different when Jeff Bagwell's talking about it.
Okay. Is he? It's Jeff Bagwell playing the character of Jeff Bagwell, the voice of the GM or whatever he was.
The Whisperer. Special advisor. By the way, see Reggie Jackson, another special advisor. His car got stolen. We'll talk about that in garbage time. I have thoughts. Many thoughts. But let's shift back to Astros ER because there's another injury. Kendall Graveman left yesterday's game, another outing where he was not able to put together a clean sheet, gave up a hit. He left the game with lower back discomfort and will be evaluated in Houston at some point today. I haven't seen any update on his status. I doubt they would give an update on his status. Put him on the injured list, right? Just put him right on the injured list. Do you need him right now? I saw earlier on the Twitch, Todd the Show was saying, well, yeah, Montero's fixed now. You can use him. What are you talking about? Montero will never be fixed. Montero is always going to be Seattle Montero to me. And I love how we keep on seeing these spin jobs, whether it's by Jeremy Branham or Michael Schwab or some of the other Astros people online. They're just saying, Montero's put together, two outings where he hasn't given up three runs? Oh, he's figured it out. Come on, guys. The guy's not, he's not a good pitcher, and they paid him a lot of money for a bad performance thus far this season. I don't think that's going to fix. Anyway, that wraps up another episode of Astros ER. We'll see what's up with Kendall Graveman. Number to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776. It's how you text in. It's also how you call it. King of all Twitches says Montero looks better. We're talking such a low bar to clear, guys. Jesus. I'm sorry. Yeah, he got a strikeout. No. Like, Yeah, I never felt comfortable with him last year in the postseason when he was pitching well. He has been an absolute disaster this season, and a couple of weeks stretch is not going to change my mind on who he is. I saw him in Seattle. I laughed when the Astros traded for him. I get that he pitched well last year. Lots of players in baseball have one good season, and then they revert back to what they actually are, especially when, I don't know, they get paid.
Hey, look, June 29th, Rafael Montero's ERA was 7.29.
Yeah.
Now it is only 5.24.
Todd, this show's saying he's a 2.31 ERA over the last 2 months. Cool. What's going to happen when he goes up against Seattle? Do you think they'd even use him? Like, here's the thing with Montero. Do you want to use Montero, even if he's pitching better? The answer should always be no. No. 713-780-3776 to call. Oh, God. Okay. Sean, I did not think we would hear from him today, especially on the heels of an Astros sweep of the Red Sox. But Sully in Somerville is back with us. Sully, what's going on?
It brings me no pleasure to call back into the Paul Gay Launch Show. Look at you, acting all high and mighty about the Rangers collapsing and completely ignoring your boy Framber Valdez clearly being caught cheating yesterday.
Wait a second, wait.
Can you shut the f*** up and let me finish? My boy, Sully from Southie, he sits on the third base line. That's right behind the away dugout. And guess what? My boy, he knew Whitey Bulger, who was really misunderstood in the community, but an absolute gangster. He knows people. And he saw Framber Valdez wiping some stuff on his hand, using Spite Attack or something like that.
Whoa.
And guess what? He told him in the dugout when he came back in after that awesome start that he had to the game, he told him, listen, I know where your family lives.
Whoa, and then he told him
that he knew Whitey Bulger and that he knew a guy who knew a guy.
Wait a second.
And then after that, you saw Framber Valdez suck for the rest of the game.
Okay, but so this is very circumstantial at best, Sully. I have no idea where you got this from, but I think your friend might have been drinking a few Guinness or something.
Of course he did. He's a cheating Astro. You guys are bullshit. Fuck you. I hope you die in a fire.
All right. That's Sully in Somerville once again. Started off with Paul Gaylon. Haven't heard that one in a bit. It's funny. It's just a constant layup for any of you guys. And yet it's regularly not used. That's Sully from Somerville, everybody. I guess at the very least we don't have to hear from him again this year unless they somehow have a rally and play the Astros in the playoffs.
Yeah, that is good that we don't have to hear from him again. Although it sounds like our show does pretty well in Massachusetts. I don't know if they're big. They're on the app or on the podcast.
There's probably the one person who goes to, I think there's a Dunkin' Donuts in like Memorial Heights area. I feel like he might be the one person that goes there. Like there's the only one Dunkin' Donuts in all of Houston. Yeah, dude, I'm going to Dunkies, kid. Cool, bro. Cool. I'm sorry. I'm just not accepting this Montero spin job. Yeah, Montero, you know, he's fine in the sixth or the seventh versus the bottom of the lineup. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. You're paying him $30 million. Jesus, guys. Sometimes the glasses that y'all wear and you like try to mask it with like I know baseball more than you. You probably do, but Montero sucks, guys. Stop. Just stop with this. He's better in the last 2 months. Shut the f up. My God. Balcalot Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can jump aboard 713-780-3776 to call, to text. The Wolves, the Sharks, they are circling Texans GM Nick Caserio after some things that he said yesterday. We'll talk about that next. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at MyBookie. College football, it's back. And if you're watching on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, you'd notice I'm wearing a Florida Gator shirt. Yes, I support the Florida Gators, but you should go to mybookie.ag, promo code ESPN97.5, sign up today, get that bonus deposit, and put all of your money on Utah, only 4.5-point favorites to absolutely kill the Florida Gators. There's no Anthony Richardson. This is going to go poorly. Utah's good. I can't believe this is a 4.5-point game. 4.5. Florida stinks. Like, this is, they've had terrible recruiting for the last couple of years. It's not going to translate on the field. You are stealing money. MyBookie.ag. Listen, I don't even consider myself an expert gambler. I'm not 5-star with this new show coming up on Friday. I'm just a man who knows that the Florida Gators stink. MyBookie.ag, promo code ESPN975. Sign up, get that bonus, put it all on Utah to win. Again, you can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude,
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Oh, like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues on The Paul Gallant Show.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A couple of funny texts. Here we go. The Daily Astros win, but Paul is still not satisfied. Hater. 5 wins in a row. They won 7-4. Yeah, but let's get back into being elitists, guys. Come on. We gotta make sure that the Mariners know what they're dealing with here in this stretch run. Some more texts.
What people are forgetting is that Paul did this all of last year when they won like 106 games.
Yes.
He's just an Astros Tiger mom. That's just what he is.
I am the kind of parent, Sean, that... Honestly, like, I'm never even going to celebrate my kid getting an A-. I could say he could always get an A. Because guess what? That's what my parents did to me and reminded me that my sister, who went to Harvard and is a ENT surgeon at a very prestigious hospital.
Wow.
They'd always remind me, like, hey, like, you could be her, the favorite child. Anyway, we don't have any issues from that. I did see my therapist last week. Seeing him again next week. Usually we do it once a month. Is Paul having some troubles? Another text. Get off Mo Money Montero's nuts, Paul. That's great. That's better than New Money Montero. I like Mo Money Montero. He's good to go. Lights out. Unhittable. Another texter agrees with me. Montero, saying Montero looks better is like saying Baker Mayfield looked better with the Rams than he did with the Browns.
He did, though.
He did. That's true.
He did, though.
That one game was great. 7 days away from the start of the NFL season. It's got to be John Elway. This one's for John. Ben Roethlisberger, second. Michael Vick, 3. Boomer Esiason, 4. I think Esiason won an MVP. I forget off the top of my head. I think Boomer Esiason is by far as the takes, he is the only one worthy of listening to on the CBS NFL pregame show. The rest, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah, Boomer's the only. And he does radio in New York, so it makes sense.
He does.
It makes sense why he's the opinionated one.
That is also like, fair.
Phil Sims is just like warm water. Just
I hope Phil has a great hang because I never want to hear him talk.
And then Cowher's just going to back every coach.
Yep.
Just refuse to second guess a coach's decision.
And the Steelers. Nate Burleson. I do like Nate Burleson on the show, but I think he left, didn't he? Isn't he like doing a?
He has like a million different jobs.
Yeah. Isn't he like now he's like in the pop culture world?
He does like the CBS morning show.
Crazy. Anyway, we've heard from both D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio yesterday. Kenyon Green, I thought he was just being put on the injured reserve, meaning that there might be a chance he could return later in the year. No, he's done for the season. That's what we know now based off of what first D'Amico Ryans and then later Nick Caserio had to say. Here's D'Amico.
I feel like we still have a really good group up front. They have to come together. We have new pieces up front. We have to come together very quickly. All right, to get ready to go play versus Baltimore. But feel good about the additions that we've added to our team, guys who have experience, guys who played before, and guys who can step in and get the job done.
I got to say, Kendrick Green, who they traded for, who was alternating reps at center with Jarrett Patterson, who's a sixth-round rookie. They claimed Ole Miss offensive lineman Nick Broeker. People are excited about that because of his statistics. I don't know. I don't know. You know what? I'm glad someone finally spiked my Kool-Aid to bring me down a little bit because I was drinking a lot of that Texans Kool-Aid yesterday, especially in this segment. But D'Amico still feels good about the offensive line. Here's the issue, and it's leading to a lot of people to really question general manager Nick Caserio, who I don't think is very well liked by Texans fans, and I think sometimes unfairly. Here is what he had to say about Kenyon Green's injury. This was something, I guess, they knew about back in May.
I would say specifically Kenyon. It was just a matter of, you know, when, not if, this was going to happen. So I'd say, and D'Amico made a comment the other day, you know, he's proud of the player, proud of the kid for, I'd say, mental and physical toughness that he showed. I think he was dealing with a lot of things physically. He was dealing with some things, I would say, on a personal level as well. And at some point, if a player is in a position that his condition or situation puts him at a disadvantage, it's not fair to the player, it's not fair to the team, and it's not fair to the individual. So in the end, you know, this is, I'd say, in the game, you know, exacerbated a little bit. But, again, we knew in May this was a possibility. To his credit, I mean, he worked through it, and I'd say did the best he could with the situation that he was
that
given.
Point.
And in the end, we just felt for the betterment of the team and the player that this was the best decision.
You know what? I like Nick Caserio. I'm one of his defenders. This is a bad look for him, though. It is a bad look for him.
I saw some tweets where it's like, they're just listing his resume as the Texans GM, and it's not pretty. When they're like, this guy is a 9-30 has a 9-30 record as a GM. And is on his third coach in 3 years, but he's going to sit here and blah, 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 blah. I'm like,
whoa. There are extenuating circumstances for year one and year two.
Yeah.
They are named Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, and hands-off Cal McNair, who did not have Hannah McNair helping him out as much as she is now. They are in a better spot. I think Caserio has made some good moves. But Kenyon Green was one of his two first-round picks last year. You get gauged on your first-round picks, and whether or not Kenyon Green was healthy or not going into this season, I mean, this is a guy that you will be judged on. I think that it's something that you got to wonder about. Did Green want the surgery? Did they push him for it, and he pushed back against it? I want to know what else he's going through. It's not good. I get why the Wolves are circling Nick Caserio. I don't think, though, that we should be essentially saying the guy sucks at his job until we know where the Texans are at the end of this season. I feel like it'll be fair to grade Caserio when he's had two drafts where he's actually had first-round picks. I'm not one to look at that first-draft class and really put anything thought-wise into it as far as, like, this is who Nick Caserio is.
When are we going to start doing Texans ER? That's the real question.
That is a good point. Because you got to wonder if the Astros ER, Sean Mapes, the Astros training staff was involved here. We're gonna talk more about this at 11 o'clock. Okay, let's feel better about where the Texans are in the AFC South. Yesterday, Jonathan Taylor, he ain't playing against the Texans in week two. He might not play for the Colts again. And it's so funny to see Chris Ballard, who is clearly essentially just screwed here. He knows that Jim Irsay is the one running the show. He can't do anything about it. So at his press conference yesterday, Chris said what everybody that's a Colts fan is saying. This just sucks.
I mean, the situation, I'm not going to sit here and give you some rosy picture like, oh, this is just, everything's okay. No, it sucks. It sucks for the Colts. It sucks for Jonathan Taylor. And it sucks for our fans. It does. And it's where we're at. And we've got to work through it.
That is as close as you're going to hear a general manager say that my owner has put me in an impossible situation. Because he's exasperated there. And he knows it's Irsay's fault. We all know it's Irsay's fault. Irsay should not have talked about this. There was no positive gain to talking about it. You burnt the bridge by doing it. Ballard was trying his best. Now you lost this guy.
There's so much frustration in the sucks. It just sucks. Like, it sounds like him just venting.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, this sucks so bad.
It does.
And how many different situations has there been with Chris Ballard where it feels like he has to, like, clean up after Jim Irsay's mess? It happens.
Jeff Saturday is the most recent example last year.
It happens every 6 months that there's something like they're an actual absolute clown show.
My favorite moment from the press conference is something we don't have the audio of. He was asked why they're not paying Taylor. after saying multiple times in the press conference, you pay great players. James Boyd of The Athletic asked them, then why not pay him? Ballard, quote, we won four games last year. We won four games. He did not say that sucks, but we all know, yes, that sucks. Ballard also gave this bad rhetorical question when asked if not having Jonathan Taylor would affect Anthony Richardson.
Do you think that stunts Anthony's growth or hinders his early development, not having Jonathan next to him?
Well, look, when you don't have a great player, I mean, but I don't think it stunts his growth. No, not at all. Hey, but it doesn't, I mean, I don't know. Did it stunt Andrew's growth without a special back?
Then he made a face like, no. Yes, it did. The guy retired when he was 30.
He doesn't play anymore.
Thank you, Sean.
He doesn't play. He's been retired for 5 years.
A really long time. I mean, maybe it didn't stunt his development, but it sure
didn't help.
Factored in his career ending early, I would imagine.
Yeah, his offensive line didn't help.
Nope.
Didn't help. Yeah, I will say, though, this maybe it's just the fact that we play these back-to-back. Chris Ballard press conferences sound so much more entertaining than Nick Caserio press conferences.
Oh, my God, I know.
He got to more in, like, what was that? Like, probably a combined 45 seconds than everything Nick Caserio's ever said as a Texans GM. Like, it's just more entertaining and, like, quicker. Like, this just sucks. All right, guys? Yeah. It sucks.
You're right. Ballard, you know, he's beleaguered right now. Oh, by the way, Vanessa just texted us saying, I'm triggered. Yeah, well, your Colts suck, Vanessa. Sorry. As Chris Ballard says, it sucks. This sucks. But you're right. With Caserio, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And I want to support him. I really, truly do. Like, I think he was a part of that Patriots run. And, man, it's hard. By the way, before we wrap up around the NFL, I don't really feel like talking about the most recent episode of Hard Knocks. Like, the Jets are setting themselves up for the same old Jets, and I just cannot wait until it all comes crumbling down. They're acting like a bunch of bozos right now.
That was the last episode of Hard Knocks, right?
Yeah, I hope so, but I think there's the last one.
Oh,
I think
it's
next week.
Can we just stop, like, pretending to care about this?
Dude, they did a two-minute reenactment of the Sopranos Open with Robert Saleh driving in his car. And Saleh's acting like he doesn't want to be essentially Rex Ryan, an educated Rex Ryan with his crows metaphor. You know, the crows pecking at the necks of eagles that they had as the buildup to the start of this. And then you got Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb after Randall Cobb, who's not going to be good this season. But, of course, the Jets got him because they're listening to what Aaron Rodgers wants. It's just Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, those other wide receivers. Yeah, let's see if they're actually still good. I know Randall Cobb's not 100 years old. He's actually, like, only 30 or something like that. But the Jets and Aaron Rodgers essentially, like, started a fight with Jihad Ward. And Rodgers went up to him and said, like, I don't even know who you are, because Ward shoved him after the play. Well, essentially, and this made the front page of ESPN because, of course, East Coast bias of two irrelevant franchises. But in this situation, Jihad Ward said, yeah, they were laughing after a blindside block that was illegal that knocked one of my teammates out. And that's why he shoved him afterwards. I feel like it's merited. And, Hard Knocks probably did only show the Jets side of the story. It is the same old Jets all over again. But I did want to get this before we got out of here, because Ian Rapoport licks the boots of agents. This is all time. Former Texans captain and starting linebacker Christian Kirksey, a surprise cut on Tuesday. Pause. It was not a surprise cut. He's not good. He's not a good linebacker in 2023. Is planning to sign with the Bills practice squad now that he has landed there, source said. He prioritized winning. He signed with the practice squad. That means that not a lot of people wanted the middle linebacker for one of the worst run defenses in NFL history. But he chose to sign with the practice squad to be with the winner. Agent bootlicking by Schefter and Rapoport. And I actually like Schefter at least. At least Schefter's like a good dude. Rapoport, it's gross. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 in 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call to text in twitch.tv/ESPN975. Dick Willie says, Randall Cobb was a Texan. I forgot that they had him. They had a pretty loaded receiver core at one point that never actually saw time together, right? Wasn't it Hopkins?
Kenny Stills.
Oh, you're right. It wasn't Hopkins anymore. It was Kenny Stills, Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, and
Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb. Names. A lot of fantasy names.
They won four games.
Didn't work out. Coming up next, I guess this has turned into the Rafael Montero Truther Show. There's more comments I want to read about that. And if you guys are married, no longer single, I'm going to play audio that proves how good you have it. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
Clever metaphors and catchphrases escape me, like a fat girl waving her trophy from the smell contest. Sweet Sassy Molassie, I'm trying my best here.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
From the state of Florida, I'll remind you, sadly, it seems like over the last couple of years that Dan Mullen started recruiting from my high school, which is why Florida Gators now suck. I can't believe they're only 4.5-point dogs against Utah tonight. I truly cannot believe it.
Utah might be without their starting quarterback.
I still can't believe it.
They could just run the ball in every play and beat the Gators?
Utah has a tough-ass defense. They have for a couple of years. It's been, I think, a very well-run program of late. That makes a little bit more sense, Sean. This is maybe the least talented Gators team that we have seen in a really long time. Anyway, mybookie.ag. Your tip tonight. Hopefully I'm not 0-1 with my first big tip of the football season. I asked people, if you want to defend Montero, you can. A texter. Montero has a 2.59 ERA since the All-Star break. Come on, bro. Be real. I am being real. I don't trust him. I watched him pitch in Seattle. First impressions go a long way. And I never felt comfortable with him out on the mound in the postseason. I didn't. Because I've seen that. I think that Seattle Montero is the true Montero. What do you want? What do you want from me? I'm just being real with you. And yeah, he has, to his credit, he has pitched well over the last 2 months. I just took a little look at the game logs. There were a couple of shaky outings, but for the most part, he has kept things down. Do you believe that's going to last? Do you trust him enough to use him in a high leverage situation? Like, has that 2 month stretch changed your mind? It will never change my mind. We're talking like 2 years. I would need to see Montero before I finally gave him the benefit of the doubt. Let alone a contract extension. Good God, Jeff Bagwell. Anyway, guys, in case you don't know, I am single. I was in a long-distance situationship from like March through a couple of weeks ago. The end of that sucks. So I've gotten back on the apps. And I don't like the apps. I don't. It's almost a necessity these days to meet people. Because it's, I think, harder and harder to find people who want to be approached at the bars. I get a lot of like, and I'm like, come on, guys. I'm at least a 7. You're shutting me down like that? I've been yelled at. I think it's the grays in my hair. Someone asked me, are you going to dye your hair all the way gray, Paul? Maybe I should. Maybe it'll make me look a little bit more wealthy. But like, those are comments that I've gotten. Some girls told me, I don't think you have enough money to date me. And I was like, damn, she's probably right. Like, these are the kind of things that you got to deal with if you're single. So if you are in a relationship or you're married, be thankful. There are some perks to being single, but the dating game sucks. And these are the kind of people that you're dating. I saw a couple of viral posts over the last 24 hours from women. This one is someone who has found a way to trick men from asking her out for coffee into not just taking her out for dinner, but also calling an Uber to pick her up from her place and meet them on a first date.
To all of my ladies in the dating pool, let me show you how to redirect your way out of a low-budget experience, okay? This is a potential suitor. He has no number saved because, period. Y'all already know how I roll. Good morning. It was great speaking with you last night. I woke up so refreshed. I would love to take you to coffee this week. Does Wednesday work, okay? You cannot take me to coffee or tea on the first date. It's not equitable for me. I don't drink coffee, and my perfume costs too much, so don't play.
Pause,
all right, so
pause,
I hail from...
Pause. Okay. You know why coffee is a great first date? And I know that not everybody appreciates that, but it's a great first date because you actually can talk with the person. When you take somebody out for dinner, you're going to be eating. There's going to be long periods of time where you are talking, assuming that you're eating something. And you can have a conversation with the waiter is going to interrupt you a bunch of times too. And I also think that coffee is good for a first date because you figure out pretty quickly whether or not you like the person when you just talk with them for a bit. And this girl wants you to take her out for dinner right away. And again, this is where the game has changed because now you have to deal with people that don't want to just go out for coffee on the first date. Like, they want to be spoiled. And as someone who has talked to people in his family who have told them, yeah, I used to have guys take me out to dinner because I was hungry. I ain't doing that. I'm just not doing that. I'm smart. I know these things. I also know I don't have all the money in the world. So it's a little bit difficult here to help this high maintenance broad out. Anyway, not only does she convince him successfully, as this little clip continues, to take her out to Italian food dinner, but she also convinces him to do something else.
I hail from corporate America. We're going to use the sandwich effect here. 6 years in the C-suite. We about to use this. Okay, boom. So I say, good morning. It was great speaking with you also. It's actually restaurant week coming up. Here's the link. Let me know which one you decide. I'm looking forward to it. So we're going to start off with something good, okay? It was great speaking with you also. I'm not even addressing the coffee, baby. We're going to redirect you in the middle. Then I'm going to end with something great saying, I'm looking forward to seeing you. We're also putting the ball back in his court because he's a grown-ass man, okay? You need to make the decision. So he goes, I just looked over the options. Let's do Italian. Perfect. So he goes, Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm like, works for me. I'm in Alexandria and I'm not far. If you could pick me up or send me an Uber, that would be awesome. Because why would you want me working on cobblestone? Why would you want me looking for parking? It sounds laborious to me.
Okay. She just sucks. She just sucks here. And I think that this guy's pretty agreeable, but it ain't going to be worth his time. All of this based off of the text that she's reading from him. I just look at this. This is what you got to deal with now. You know? Like, Saturday, I'm hanging out with somebody, but I've been told I got to pick them up. And I'm kind of annoyed by that. But hey, that's okay. I'm fine. I just got a new car. So at the very least, that's going to be a nice touch to make me seem like I'm a little wealthier than I actually am. Because Sean, who is laughing back there, here's the thing. You got to trick him into thinking you got money.
I just like I'm going to have to pick him up. That sucks. Yeah. I do have a new car, though.
I do have a new car. It's nice. Anyway, here's another woman who is upset. That a person she was dating that didn't have the, quote, husband energy, end quote, that she's looking for, did not try to manipulate her into getting back into a relationship with her.
I recently was going on dates with a man, and nice guy, good guy, treated me well. But once I realized that he was not my husband, because I'm only looking for husband energy at the moment, I ended things with him, and I sent him a text, because, like, it wasn't that serious, you know, I didn't feel like I needed to do it in person. Anyway, so I sent him a text, told him that I didn't see it going any further, and he agreed. He said that he didn't think that he could make me happy. And while I appreciate that, it was a very kind response. He didn't even try. He didn't even try and say that he, like, wanted to change, that he wanted to, like, whatever. Like, I can be manipulated. I will listen to you. But you didn't even try.
What's the point of trying? What's the point? Some of these conversations I've had, like, for example, maybe a conversation I had on Sunday, it's like pulling teeth when they tell you what they don't want, but they want you to still go for it anyway. It's like, what the hell do you guys want? This is why I'm frustrated, because I'm pretty direct. I'll just tell someone, like, yeah, into you. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. And there's these, first off, like, gaslighting you into taking her out to a nicer dinner for the first effing date, which is crazy. It is crazy. But again, this is the game I have to play now, but you also have crazy people like this. So it sucks being single, in a nutshell. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Maybe I should start doing advertisements for some sort of, like, matchmaker service or something like that, huh? Sales staff, yeah, you on that? How about that, huh? Also, that would be terrible, too, because I'm so shallow. So I'm part of the problem myself. Anyway, coming up next, we talked about Nick Caserio a little bit earlier. Does he deserve the wrath that he is getting from online folks and all Texans fans everywhere for the way he handled the Kenyon Green situation? We'll discuss. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston.
I've got to prove that I'm the best, and I'm racing no matter what you tell me.
Huh?